Good evening, and welcome to yet another episode of The Last Knock, your friends in horror since 2013. I am one of your co-hosts. My name is Johnny Num, and joining me tonight, as always, is...
Billy Crash.
And tonight, we are discussing... We're discussing the state of the world, correct, Bill?
It is. It is the state of the world. It's Corona horror.
Yeah, and just you know, Billy was texting me about what we could potentially talk about, and I'm just like, this, what's going on in the world right now, and we're recording this on March 26th, is kind of a case of real world horror. Pretty much affecting, well, it's affecting all of us, but it's affecting some more than others because of the spread of the coronavirus, or COVID-19, as it's been abbreviated. So do you have any I don't know, Bill, where do you want to start with this, because I have Because I think to myself, when did I start to worry? When did things start to quote unquote change? Start all this, yeah.
I started to worry as soon as I heard there was an outbreak of an unknown virus in China.
And you're much better at keeping closer attention to the news than I am. So you were probably very much hyper aware of this before it ever came to America.
Yeah, and you know what made me hyper aware was in the 1980s there was a phenomenal science and science fiction magazine called Omni, and Omni was brilliant, phenomenal writing, just really outrageously wonderful. And I remember reading an article from about contagious diseases. And they were talking to people from the CDC, and I remember this one guy. You could feel his angst, his fear coming through the page. And he was like, "You don't understand, man. Somebody could land from like anywhere in the world, in the United States, with something that we don't know anything about, and start infecting people, and it's just rampant all over." And I'm like, and so it's like, well, here it is, you know. So anytime there's like an outbreak of anything, SARS, bird flu, NHN1, you know, AIDS even, right. You know, and just, you know, goes on and on. It's like, oh, that could be a really bad contagion and blah, blah, blah. And so like when I first heard that, oh, there's this unknown virus in China that's been leaked from this young 34-year-old doctor who, after blowing the whistle on his country and his government, he died. No one's investigated that death yet. They're saying it was from coronavirus, and it may have been. But I was like, oh, here we go. And, you know, I was thinking, well, we did really well with SARS, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, Ebola, you know. And then I learned some things that, you know, didn't sit well with me at all about what our current administration had done. And I was like, oh, we have no response team. And I'm like, there it is. And then, ba-da!
Yeah.
One case. Yeah. It's like a cockroach. One person, like, you know, I live in a county right now in Pennsylvania that has 67 people with it. We're on a stay-at-home order. You are too, right now?
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, unless we have to go out for groceries or prescriptions, there's also, you know, restaurants. I think they're doing it where you're at too, but they're still doing like a curbside pickup or just pickup service.
Right. Yep. Yeah. So, in fact, we had our second death. The first was a few days ago. It was a 56-year-old gentleman. And now in Stroudsburg, and now a 49-year-old gentleman from East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, who had passed due to COVID-19. And so it's weird, you know, I'm living in this, you know, we're not in martial law, yet, and but it's like, yeah, but it's like it's so weird because I live across the street from a very, very busy gas station that's not very, very busy, and I'm glad it's open because it has food in there. So if I like, we're running out of food, fuck it, I'm getting potato chips. You know, it's like I know where to go, you know. But it's just so surreal, and you said it right. We're living in a real horror movie right now, and so that's like it, man.
I think the thing is, Bill, it's interesting because, watching these movies that we've seen where martial law has been implemented, and I'm not trying to stoke panic
No,
among,
no.
anybody who might be listening. I think if anything, I think part of our reason for doing this show is to kind of keep ourselves sane in a way, this episode in particular, because it's like when this started to ramp up and people started to be like, yeah, it's a global health concern, but now it's come over to our shores. I think that's when it was like, yeah, I realized that these movies did not, oh, it's not like Hot Fuzz where watching all those Michael Bay movies prepared you to be like a cop in an action movie or whatever. It's you don't To me, there's no feeling of like, oh boy, well, I'm glad I watched The Crazies because now I know what to expect. It's not like that at all. It's like, oh shit, this is the movie that Romero was warning us about,
Oh, yeah.
the potential for, something like this to happen. And that film is all about the handling of an outbreak, and that's part of what makes that film disturbing is it's chaos, it's not handled well. There's bureaucracy and there's science butting heads, like in
Like
Dead.
now.
Yeah, precisely, and yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, The Crazies is a perfect example. That's my favorite Romero film, and I even liked the remake. I did enjoy it.
Yeah, the remake's good.
Yeah, it is, and and it's funny because originally when we were planning on doing this show, we were going to, as we're going to talk about, the virus horror films that we know, and even the virus dramas like Contagion, which was a really well-made movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was just like, no one, I no one was like, with a zombie apocalypse or everything like that, you got to get a gun, you got to get a weapon, you got to, face this thing head on. No one knew, like, holy shit, you got to get toilet paper. Like, it's just so, because these early rumors went around that you're going to get massive diarrhea with this thing, which is completely untrue, and people went bonkers. And I actually think it was only a few people who went bonkers, but I think it's that whole mentality where if you're in a store and you're seeing somebody grab every friggin' toilet roll they can get their hand on, you're like, I gotta get that too, And
Herd mentality,
yeah,
yeah.
totally herd mentality. And it's just like, I was hoping against hope, AMC and The Walking Dead would have done a PSA where Norman Reedus is throwing paper rolls of paper toilet paper at friggin' zombies, and he's like, this doesn't work, like, cut the shit, be a human being. And yeah, so, and that's the weird part. We're in a situation now where we have the hyper paranoid who are acting like third rate survivalists, hoarding all this shit. Then we have these other complete morons who are so cavalier. They're licking telephone, they're licking subway pole, their toilet seats, they're having coronavirus parties, and they're getting it and they're going to the hospital. And I'm like, well, good for you. I could give two shits about because you're an idiot. But
Well, and
I'm.
what about that prank that just happened?
Which one?
Apparently, it was a prank that happened yesterday or the day before. Randy posted about it in Scranton, I believe. Someone sneezed on produce in a grocery store.
Yeah, she purposely coughed on it and they had to throw out $35,000 worth of food. And
Which
they're
is
like,
insane, yeah.
yeah, and the report was like, well, she hasn't been prosecuted yet. She should be in jail. She should have to have a $35,000 fine. She should have to do like 500 hours of community service. I mean, there's like, and it's funny because, I'm going around, I'm watching the people around me, and everybody's been really cool. But if I see that, like, just talking to my friends and all, it's like, if I see somebody doing that, I'm gonna like lash out. And I'm like, yeah. It's like, how can you not? Right now, I'm thinking there should be a cop at every grocery store just in case, you know. But yeah, so you have these people who are cavalier, and it's like you could be cavalier all you want, but you're going to go out and expose people to this thing. And if some if people get sick, that's horrible. But if people die, you're a murderer.
Yeah, and you know, not to get on my old man's soapbox here.
Do it,
you know,
Johnny. Get on it. Get on the box.
Get on the box. Get on the box. you know, it's just kind of like I think to myself, how would this situation be different if everybody's phone wasn't able to take video? What if we were just able to talk and text, no video, nothing to record these stupid annex, and therefore there would be a lot less of this, you know, stupid viral bullshit going on. You know, no pun intended, stupid viral bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, if people trying to look, you know, whatever, I'm young, I'm immortal. Hey, let me look this let me look this poll to show you what a badass I am for like 15 seconds of fame kind of thing. So yeah, I just am just kind of at a loss, you know.
Well, we're at, you know, what you brought up is a double-edged sword. One of the great things is, you know, we're all on a most of the world right now is on a forced staycation.
True. Yeah.
But we have communication like we've never had before in the centuries before. So, I mean, we have medicine like never before. We have science like never before. You know, I was thinking of, you know, my gosh, what about, you know, the Black Death? You know, what about, you know, the bubonic plagues, you know, medieval times? I mean, people, they were just screwed. They were just screwed.
Yeah, that was truly staying inside your place with what you had and not going out. Yeah.
Yeah, but there was no medicine. There was no communication. Yeah. There was no science. There was just, my God, I remember hearing about in England, they were like, oh my gosh, we think this is being spread by cats and dogs. So they were killing them. Meanwhile, the rats were running rampant, and it's like, great job, you know? And,
right.
You know, like all of our, you know, our ancestors, you know, the generations before us, they've survived so much of war and pestilence and all of this craziness. And, you know, so now we have this great communication tools, you know, where we can help each other, where we can communicate, where we don't have to feel alone. We have, for most of us, I mean, most people listening to this show live in, you know, hope, you know, have a roof over their head, obviously. They have either an advanced phone or a computer. They probably, because they have those things, they have food to eat, clothes on their back. Hopefully people have clean drinking water and sanitation. I mean, I'm like, you know, yeah, it sucks, but I'm feeling really, really blessed, man, that I have, you know, what I have, you know.
You know, Bill, I'll amend that statement, because I do agree with you, and that's something I've been thinking about as well. I mean, just what we're doing right now, as much as we bitch about Skype at times, you know, it's allowing us to have this conversation from 2 hours away without having to be in the same room, you know. That's something. Being able to send photos or whatever on your phone, or do a, you know, check in with someone via Skype, like have a family sort of get together to check in and see how everybody is. I suppose it's like with the, you know, great technology comes great responsibility, and I think when you have these tools, it's a matter of using them wisely, you know. And I think there are a lot of people out there who are taking advantage of the fact that, yeah, we're extremely fortunate, because otherwise we'd be shut in here, you know, with our books and ourselves and whatever food we had, the newspaper maybe, and whatever was on the nightly news. So I think there is a lot of quote unquote good in this, you know, in the fact that we don't all have to get cabin fever, and we don't all have to get paranoid and get guns out and start shooting each other, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I think to what you said, Bill, it is a blessing. It's a really, it is a good thing. I just think people can be freaking idiots, and sometimes that's what tends to get the most attention. And I also think with the ease in which you can wield like social media, and even just, you know, creating your own website in general, that's led to, I think, a real sewer of misinformation that's just basically a manure spreader across Facebook and Twitter, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, there's just so much information out there and everybody's posting or retweeting stuff. And it's just like, it's overwhelming for one.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is why I kind of have a couple places that I go to when I want to, you know, get kind of a straight, no BS kind of assessment on what's, you know, what's happening and what's most up to date. So.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And it's funny because in most of these dystopian, disaster, apocalyptic movies, one of the first things to go is communication.
Oh, yeah.
And all the people are on their own, and which is very frightening. And once that happens, I mean, they sort of take this massive global event and they make it more intimate so you could follow your characters. But, you know, communication hasn't been, you know, screwed up in any way, shape, or form. It's just you have to be careful where you get your information from. And,
right.
You know, with some, we were just talking today, the company I work for, I mean,
yes.
I am so lucky. We had our general manager said, hey, we're going to have a happy hour at 4 o'clock, and got everybody in from my division up there. And we were all just talking, hanging out. People were drinking wine and stuff, you know, doing it remotely. So it was great. I was seeing people all over the country,
nice,
which was wonderful. And part of it is like, the information coming in, because this is something that does need to be resolved quickly, and quickly by science standards means within a year, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, coming up with a vaccine and all. But if, you know, if there's like some information that comes out pointing to one thing or the other, it has to be reported so other people can take it and either apply it or check it against what's going on in the field, because things are happening rapidly, to see like, is this true or not? So some of the information that could come out might not be correct, and that's, I think, a hard thing for anybody, because you know, there's about 35 drugs or more that are being considered to like help stem the tide, and they think they might work. They don't know if they'll work yet. In some mini trials, certain ones aren't working, and it's not like, oh, boo hiss. It's like, okay, those three didn't work. What are the next three? And that's the good thing, and it's trial and error. And that's not a bad thing at all. But, you know, I think, you know, all it takes is one person to spread a stupid, ridiculous rumor, and, you know, it's just, and bad things will happen, you know, like with the toilet paper insanity. That was just bonkers.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm coming from, is because, you know, you have people who don't know to check their source. They just see something and then they immediately share it on social media. I mean, I look through a lot of people's, when I'm looking through my Twitter feed and my Facebook feed alike, I do a lot of eye rolling, because I'm like,
oh yeah,
seriously? It's like, you should know better than to post something like this, because it is obviously, it's obviously bullshit. So you're really making me question your competence, you know, with it. But I understand that sort of there's been this whole atmosphere that we've been working towards, I think, where it's just a string of chaos and mass confusion. So this is kind of the worst time for something like this to be happening, I guess, in our technological evolution and our evolution as a species, because, you know, I think we're more quick to panic about things. Though I will say this, Bill, my girlfriend and I have been mostly only going out to the grocery store. And to what you were saying, people, outside of the huge shortages of water and toilet paper and a couple other things, you know, people are calm and collected. There's none of that, like, you know, elbowing the old lady in front of you.
Yeah, because, exactly.
You know, you need to get the last thing of Fancy Feast. But, you know, it's like you said, it's like this thing is happening. I feel like people are, I think maybe people are just being more intuitive about things, and they're saying, well, I'm not going to listen to you-know-who make statements that have no grounding in science or logic, basically. You know, I'm going to listen to maybe, you know, I'm going to go to the WHO website or the CDC website and, you know, or listen to, I know in Pennsylvania we have daily addresses by Governor Wolf and Secretary of Health Levine, and actually me and my girlfriend think that those are extremely helpful because it's the facts as they know them and the statistics as they know them, and they're being presented in a very calm and collected way so as not to incite panic.
Right, because this is even if it takes a long time, it's a temporary thing, you know? And our generation hasn't been challenged, you know? And I'm talking about, like, I'm part of the slacker generation. You're part of what? Don't they call it the Johnny Numb generation?
Well, the patent is pending on that, Bill.
No, but it's not since World War II have we, Vietnam was horrible and all, but it wasn't like like people are threatened in their homes kind of thing. I mean, my parents survived the Depression, and they talked about what they had to endure as children. They survived World War II, where they had to endure rationing. And I'm like, I'm fine with food rations, man. If you need to do it, fine, whatever, so we could be civil. Because if people aren't civil and things get ugly, governors are going to call out their National Guard, and they might call them out anyway because it's like, oh, we need help building shelters, we need help, building hospitals, and those guys are going to do it, those men and women, because they're phenomenal, and they've been practicing and training for shit like this forever, and I know that would freak people out, like, but I know it would bring comfort to a lot of people as well, and let's hope that doesn't happen, but the cool thing is, we live in a country with a lot of great resources, and I know some people are still freaking out about like the economy and all. And it's like, okay, right now there is no world economy. Everybody's at the same level. It's like, it's okay. Yeah, but what about my 401k and all? It's like, dude, like if you're dead, it doesn't matter. So it's like, like what the
And you know the
fuck?
thing is, Bill, some people got cut off at the knees with this too.
Oh, I know they did. I know dozens of people who are unemployed right now. No, and I know that. And that's where, and I can imagine, because I've been in a place where I lost everything,
Oh,
and
yeah, I do.
but everybody else had, the resources, and that's part of the reason why I'm alive today, and why I'm okay today. And I can't imagine, and I hope it doesn't come down to where someone has a family, they have a wife and kids, or they have a husband and kids, and it's like, I'm being called back to work early, and I could still get this. One, they don't want to infect their family, but they need money to keep their house going. But if they get sick, then they're out of it again. And what if it leads to something where it becomes deadly? And it's like, oh my God. So, we have to navigate this thing between economy and politics and doctors and scientists. Although for me, I'm doing whatever the medical community says to do. Even the military, they had a study come out like a day or two ago, and they're like, this isn't good, and this isn't going to go away tomorrow, and it's going to be a lot more than after Easter before things could reach a point where things settle down, because they're worried about the things that they might have to do for if the National Guard's called out and everything else. And they're like, and they're in line, the military is in line with the scientists and the doctors. And that's all I'm listening to. I mean, I'm seeing some good things on the news. I'm seeing some wonderful things on the news about people helping people, which is beautiful. That's humanity. And that's phenomenal. But every night I hear, here's the death rate. Here's the acceleration of the virus, but no one is ever mentioning how many people have recovered yet. I could tell you what that number is right now, Johnny.
Oh, well, then enlighten us, Bill.
Well, I use the Johns Hopkins University and Medicine Coronavirus Resource Center page. What happens is around the world, they get all of the information coming in from testing and death reports and survival reports as well. It's updated all the time. It was developed by, I want to find out who exactly. I forgot the woman's name. Ah, rats. It was developed by a professor and her one student. I think they took their names off of this for now.
Okay.
But anyway, as of right now, I'm gonna do it again. As of right now, we're at 523,163 confirmed cases worldwide in 175 out of 196 countries. And some of those countries we know won't report. Some countries are probably underreporting. Some places I know, like I can imagine, like if I called my doctor and said, I think I have it, here's my symptoms. You probably do. Don't take a chance on coming down and get tested. We're not going to test you. Let's make believe you have it. So it's,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But 23,639 deaths around the world. Unfortunately, Italy's still leading with that. But the total recovered is 122,059. And there's different levels of recovery, too, from what I've learned. And I'm not a medical doctor. I know you're not. So I don't want to speculate. But this has been one great source to go to for me. And a lot of states have their own sources as well, because I go to the Department of Health for the it's the official Pennsylvania government website.
Yeah.
And I check up on there, you know, what's going on in my county and around the state. And they have these little maps, which it's sad. Like for 2 days, it's like, hey, there's no acceleration of the virus. And then today I looked and I'm like, oh, there is an acceleration of the virus.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No, you know. And but, you know, the CDC admittedly is a little bit a little bit antiquated.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean it's inaccurate. It's just like, you know, government funding and all. They need to catch up with what they put on their posts. But
gotcha.
But I don't even know what the question was. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay, Bill. Because, you know, maybe I'll step aside and say, you know, something that differs between the two of us in terms of our jobs is that the job you have and you've had for a few years now, it's a remote job.
Yeah, I am lucky.
So you've known what it's like to just work from home, and I'm sure you had a routine basically that you kind of adhered to, you know, every day for your job.
Maybe.
Well,
maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, that's something, because I've been working from home for, this is the second week.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was on the morning of Monday the 16th that the whole office was basically buzzing about, you know, everybody was getting things situated for whatever was going to happen with their position, basically. I was fortunate enough that I was in a group where they said, yeah, you can access your Outlook and you can access other stuff via the internet, and you can do that from home.
Mm-hmm.
Other people were leaving like an out-of-office message, like the contract staff I work with, they were leaving an out-of-office message saying they didn't know when they would be back, and to my knowledge, they're not getting paid.
Oh, man.
So they're some of the people who are probably having to apply for unemployment and probably got cut off at the knees with the announcement with this, like a lot of other people as well. It's become quite a
burden.
A burden, and I'm not getting a haircut this month, obviously, because they shut down, you know, the haircutting places are not essential services. You know, it's just all these little things that you don't tend to think about too heavily in the daily scheme of things, and I realize that speaks to a degree of privilege on my end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just kind of bizarre, but the mood in the office that Monday was kind of the same sort of mood you encounter like the day before a holiday.
Mm.
People weren't like panicking or anxious. People just seemed very more animated, more talkative than usual.
Right.
But it was still kind of strange to like be told, yeah, we got to huddle and figure out what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks at least, and what projects we're going to prioritize. And then it's like, okay, go home and try to acclimate to, you know, doing your job from home as much as possible. So it's like last week was pretty rough in trying to kind of etch out a routine, and today this week has been better. But it's just
That's good.
still kind of strange, and you know, there's certain uncertainties that are accompanying the people who are privileged enough to work from home. But it's kind of a strange experience, and I realize everybody's probably simultaneously trying to come to grips with things while at the same time trying to normalize what's happening. Does that sound right?
Yeah, no, I mean it is. Even though I am a remote employee, it's like my day's over. It's like, well, okay, I can't really go out. It's over. Like, what can I do? And but I know a lot of people who weren't working remotely. My company was cool, took almost 6,000 employees, and within 3 days, thousands were set up to work at home, like that. I mean, my company didn't play. My company was ahead of the government and everything else, and it was really, really awesome. And people are freaking out because now it's like some people like you, like what if you and your girlfriend had kids? Now what do you do? Daddy's got to work, and it's like I have to take care of my kid too. I have to like teach them. It's like,
Oh
oh
yeah,
my God.
all the stuff that you're it, someone else it was someone else's job.
Yeah. Can you imagine a single parent with kids having to work remotely and take care of their kids at the same time? Oh man. Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are in that boat.
Yeah, and I feel for them. And it's not like, oh, I'll go over and watch your kid for a while. It's like, well, I can't go near you, because I mean, that's one of the weird things about this virus. It's not like, oh man, I think I have the flu. I'm staying home. It's like you could walk around for 5 days and then, oh, I'm showing signs. It's like, yeah, but for 5 days I infected people. It's like, oh shit. And that's the horror of it.
Well, yeah, and that's what I find maddening about the whole thing is that, oh,
Yeah.
I'm feeling fine today, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Fine today and not fine the next day. And yeah, it's not cool at all. I mean, again, I'm lucky. My company, they put out a thing, hey, no working at night. Don't work on weekends. Take your time for yourself. If you're doing work and your kids need help, your health and your family come first. And I'm like, well, who am I working for? It's like, how come the president of my company isn't running the country? It's just like, wow, this is just,
Oh yeah.
I feel loved, and I'm like, I never had a company like, I've been working since I was 13, so I've been working 41 years. And I'm like, every other company I worked for, it's like, well, right from the beginning, it's like, yeah, I like this thing that we're doing and all, but fuck the company. Because it's like screw them, they're gonna like get rid of me in 2 seconds. They don't care. And I'm not being treated that way right now. And I just and it, I've been trying to contact people and Facebook's been great. People are like interconnecting
Oh yeah,
and
definitely.
but it's like I'm worried about so many people. I know 6 people who have COVID-19 right now.
Oh God. Okay.
And one of them, they're a couple and they have 3 children. And it's like, oh my God, no one could take care of their kids. How do they isolate? Their kids are older, so that's cool. I think the kids can handle things themselves. But it's like, can you imagine being a parent and sick? And then it's like, oh my gosh, I got my kids sick. It's like, I can't imagine that guilt. It's not like a cold. It's weird because I was talking to a friend of mine who's a nurse, and she said, we don't have any protective gear. We used it all up fighting the flu just a couple months ago. She said, we don't have anything, and I can't even buy it for myself. There's nothing anywhere. And she's freaking out. And it's like the flu, like we know when the season is, we know what it looks like. We know we can't take preventative measures for it. We know what to do if we are sick. And this is just, it's funny because it's like, well, it's like the flu, but it is definitely not. And there's nothing we can do for it yet. And that's going to take time. And that's the thing. And it's just bizarre. I knew things were really bad 2 weeks ago when I was looking at the tracker from Johns Hopkins. and I saw somebody in Greenland had it. I'm like, Greenland, like it's like then
frozen.
I'm looking. Well, it wasn't just that. It's like Greenland doesn't have that many people on it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm looking at some of these little itty bitty teeny tiny islands in the middle of nowhere, and one person has it, and I'm like, forget it. It's worldwide. And then each day I watch these little red bubbles just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's not to spread fear. It's just that this is a highly contagious thing. 80% of people now like will, you know, recover, but it's that 20%. And I'm actually thankful. I was thinking this today, as morbid as it sounds, I was thankful that neither of my parents are alive. I'd be worried sick for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they both had compromised health systems,
immunodeficiency.
Thank you so much. Problems in your senior years, and it would be like worried to death about them, and you know, you can't couldn't get close to them, and
yeah,
you know, and having to you know take care of them from a distance, and maybe bring them a food, drop it off at the front door or whatever, and just be worried sick about them. But still, I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm kind of in that spot, actually, because I'm concerned about my stepmom.
Yeah.
And my brother, and my stepmom is within, or at least what they thought was the age range. Is those statistics you brought up earlier, Bill, proved that this thing doesn't seem to discriminate per se.
Yeah.
Based on a particular age group, and my concern is that my stepmom, is asthmatic and also had I believe she had AFib at some point.
Gotcha.
So I'm trying to be in steady communication with her and saying like, you know, I'm the one offering, hey, can I go to the grocery store and bring you down some stuff, you know, if you need it, even though she's perfectly, you know, she's perfectly able-bodied and she does all this stuff, you know, on her own, you know, insistently, and I'm still in that headspace of I'm really worried and I still want to do this stuff, you know, if it might mean a decreased exposure for you or something like that, kind
right.
of that, not to be a martyr, but just to, you know, just I want to look out kind of, and yeah.
Johnny Martyr. Nah, it doesn't sound good.
the movie Martyrs is better than Johnny Martyr, so yeah.
No, I know what you mean. But I think the beautiful thing is I've seen so many people helping other people and, you know, hearing great stories, and they're out there by the ton. I mean, my one friend, her mother's 93 years old and her mother survived. Her mother, she's of German stock. So she was in Germany while it was being bombed in World War II.
Mm.
She survived all of that hell. And her daughter's taking care of her. But my friend, the daughter, she's not going to risk exposure. So she is staying inside completely. And it was great. She didn't even have to ask anybody. Her neighbors came to them, knocked on a door, and said, we'll get you anything you need. Don't worry about it. We'll go to the store. Blah, blah, blah. And it's just beautiful. We could all share resources. We could all help each other. And one of the things that I think is important, and I love it, Bloomberg put this out today, is like, hey, everybody who was making fun of like minimum wage people last week, they're sort of like our heroes right now. Every time I go to the grocery store, I thank the people for remaining to work.
Good Lord, yeah.
And it was funny because, oh my God, I had a thought in my head and it just escaped. Giant... and I'm really happy with them because I always liked their grocery stores and all. They gave all of their workers raises. And
Bill, actually they did that for a couple chains in my neighborhood too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful thing. There's a lot of ads for people who can't work now from their other job. They can work in a grocery store and all. Yeah, you have to take protective measures, and you know most people are. People are. I went for a walk before. People are, keeping your distance, and we're saying hi to each other, and we're waving.
Oh yeah,
and that's as close as I'm getting to you. You know, and it's like, you know, but You know, it's funny, when I was a kid, I would always wave at fire trucks when they went by, wave at the men and women in the trucks, and I still do it. I don't care how old I am, but now I'm doing it to truck drivers because these poor men and women are driving, some of them cross country, delivering goods, and there's no place for them to stop anymore to get food, to relieve themselves even.
Unless you're just stopping at a gas station and getting a hot dog.
Yeah, so I feel for them, and they're still doing what they need to do, and there's a ton of jobs. If you have a CDL and you're not working right now, there's jobs galore because some people can't work because they're sick, but there's others who can, and they're keeping us all alive, and that's a beautiful thing.
And
I think.
Bill, I think I'm a little like you in this regard because I've always, been one to treat people in like the service industry, respectfully. Because,
Absolutely, because we both worked in those industries.
oh yeah, it's and it can be challenging to
Oh
work with the
yeah.
public, to say the least. And to see these people, the people at the restaurants who are still keeping the lights on with the takeout service or
Oh
whatever.
yeah.
God damn, it's like, tip them well and, say please, say thank you, say whatever that you appreciate.
Be human.
Yeah, what they're doing, just be, be civil and yeah, exactly. Be human, 'cause it's got to be tough. And I'm sure the people who are working in those positions are like thinking in the back of their head, what if,
Yeah.
but I still got to do what I got to do, and that's, it's like it's the kind of the way of the world. And I think it's good. And I the teenage cashiers at the Wegmans me and my girlfriend go to, I'm just like, man,
Yeah.
it's just that I know you're there for the paycheck, but there's also the sense of perseverance, and they still, greet you like they're supposed to. And I think everybody's probably expressing a lot of empathy,
Sure.
and admiration when they do these sort of like tasks that, we felt were mundane before, kind of like just, it's just a part of the, you gotta go get groceries once a week. You gotta go through the drive-through sometimes, it's just like, now I think it puts a totally different spin on
Oh yeah.
that job. Yeah.
Sure, and pharmacists working, mail carriers,
That too.
all the people in service, police, fire, all of it, and our health workers, I mean, at every hospital, it's like I can't even imagine what they're going through. And knowing, like in our, in our county, I'm wondering, I'm only guessing that if people's practices are shutting down for their specialties because it's not necessarily a necessity. Like there's certain things I need, but I'm supposed to get like a treatment on my shoulder and this and that, but like that shit can wait, man. I'm fine with that. I'm wondering if they're being redirected to, possibly work in triage and stuff to help, other people. But still, they're putting, they have families too, and it's like, yeah, people want to be treated and helped and saved, but they also want to remain healthy and make it home,
Yeah, I think there is this acknowledgement that, it sounds corny to say, but I'm sort of humbled a bit that, we haven't turned into the last act of The Mist. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know, I know, I know.
It's kind of like I do think people are maybe a little hesitant, but everybody's giving each other their space. I think I get this feeling that I don't get afraid when I go out in public.
Right.
I don't get afraid when I go to the grocery store. It's just more like I think everybody has this acknowledgement that, yeah, it's kind of we're all in this situation together. So let's, for as much as we can, let's make it as painless as possible if we can. So.
Yeah, we are all in this together, and that's worldwide, and we've learned from countries that, well, so many countries didn't take preventative measures as quickly as they should have. I don't know if any country really did. I think South Korea did some stuff that was positive that, but And there's all those people are like, ah, because, like, you know, that can't happen now. Nah, we're not going to have a plague. Nah, we're going to be fine. And those people aren't, you know, it's like, it's
horrible.
Well,
and something that, yeah. And something I think is interesting though, is I was trying to, trying to think to myself, what is some sort of like national or global crisis that's affected me directly? And I really couldn't come up with anything within my lifetime, because I'm like, well, mm-hmm. we had 9/11.
Yeah.
And things were, I mean, I wasn't in New York at the time, and that threw sort of everything into chaos for a long time after, because people mm-hmm. were trying to figure out who's attacking us, what's going on, what do we do as a country, you know, and then Giuliani told us all to go out and spend money, so that solved the problem. But you know what I'm saying? And then it's like, I think of Katrina, it's like, yeah, that was a horrible thing, but I wasn't, you know, it's like, I can acknowledge that these things were not good at all and really adversely impacted a lot of people's lives, if not ended their lives. But here I am, it's like, I can't, you know, from central Pennsylvania, it's like, I'm kind of, what's the word? I hate to sound ignorant about it, but that did not affect me directly.
Right. No, that, I mean, I get it.
So it's like, now it's this interesting position of, oh, well, we can't, you know, you can't look away from it. It's here. It's, you know, it's in every, I don't know how many counties in Pennsylvania it's in, but it's all across the U.S., you know, it's Europe. So
everywhere. It's, yeah, there's only like a handful of countries that aren't dealing with it right now. And again, I mean, I don't know about their reporting capabilities, but I could tell you how many counties it's in right now, which is...
Because I feel like a couple of days ago it was like 20-some in Pennsylvania, but that could have changed quickly. Yeah,
there's only seems to be, God, I could count them out, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Yeah, there's only 20 counties where there hasn't been any reported cases, but it's blossomed. And
oh yeah, definitely, because we got 67 counties, and that's an increase from where it was. Mm-hmm. yeah
and where you're at, yeah, it's not
good. What's the statistic where I'm at?
What's the name of your county here, Harrisburg? You're not Cumberland. It's not,
I guess,
Cumberland.
I think it might be Cumberland. It's Cumberland? It's not Dauphin.
Yeah 15.
Okay, all right.
And
those are the reported cases, right?
Right, 67 by me. And you know, and it's funny, people were talking about the yellow fever, you know, outbreak mm-hmm. that we had and you know, God, many, many, many moons ago. And that's one of the reasons that Philadelphia didn't become the capital of the United States, because of the yellow fever, where 40,000 people in the city alone died. And you can imagine how small Philadelphia was at the time.
Oh God, yeah.
You know, but yeah, I'm thinking of all the things that, you know, we've survived as a species, you know, and think about, you know, smallpox and typhus and dysentery. And in some countries, those things still exist. The plague still exists and all. And it's like,
right,
you know, and Western world, you know, related societies, that's not necessarily a concern, but things are now, you know, it's just crazy. But
yeah, I mean, are you still I mean, to maybe get off that subject, like, what are you doing to kind of I hate the
Pornhub, man, a lot of Pornhub.
Okay, so we're in the same boat then.
Yeah,
okay.
I think like, the first thing I thought of when this thing took off is, I like, man, porn on the internet is going to be, like, now's the time to be a cam girl or something. It's like, oh, man, honey, we're posting our amateur videos right now because we're going to be, like, gods tomorrow. And
I mean, because I know you, something you like to do, and something I've done with you when I've gone up to Stroudsburg, is we just, you know, we walk where we need to go because everything is so conveniently located, you know, Yard of Ale, the bookstore, the record store, and all that. So, I mean, do you still do that stuff? I saw you took some photos of downtown, which were very eerie but very beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, I live in Stroudsburg, not Erie, but oh, that's a Pennsylvania joke.
Oh.
No, the great thing is Steve Brancato is keeping Banters and Downriver Brewery open for to-go orders. They sanitize growlers, and they'll fill your growler, and you can go. So that's great. And I've seen a lot of my friends there, and we hover outside, like at a distance, and and we chat a little bit. But Yarda Vale is closed right now. But La Morena is open, which is good. They have great Portuguese Mexican food, and they do to-go orders, of course. So we still walk around town, but it's just after a certain time period, it gets really, really light. I've seen some traffic with cars, and I'm realizing well, I need to take my car for a drive tomorrow to make sure my battery's still working. It's like, but other than that, other than that, I'm staying in. I'm revising my third novel. I'm not working on fundraising for the movie I want to make right now because that's inappropriate. Fundraising needs to go towards people getting protective gear in any industry they work in. Other than that, what else am I doing? That's pretty much it. I'm working on a book and watching a ton of movies and reading, listening to podcasts.
Good man. I was just wondering what you were doing to kind of self-preserve in all this.
Are you doing the same pretty much or anything different?
I've actually been I've been doing some review writing.
Cool.
And I've got a couple things in draft right now.
Nice.
I've been watching stuff. It's been a little easier to prioritize watching stuff since I'm mostly inside. But for 8 hours a day, I gotta kind of loom in the vicinity of my computer, so I can't really put anything on while I'm actually at work. But yeah, I'm a bit yeah, I'm taking walks over lunch with my girlfriend. I think I mentioned that, and it's we have a nice little neighborhood kind of nearby where it's
That you do.
kind of suburban, and there's we'll see people too, and we'll wave hi, but we'll walk across the street though if it looks like our paths are going to cross, unless the person beats us to it. Spending time with my cat. And I'm actually getting reading done, which is good because I used to have such a hard time prioritizing writing and reading while I was in the office, and even when I was out of the office. So it feels good just to like take a morning and afternoon break and part of my lunch to just sit back with a book, kind of. And
Gotcha.
I'm sure there's an element of escapism that's accompanying that, but it just feels good to read. I feel like I'm kind of reconnecting with the medium, if you will, when I do that. So,
That's cool.
it's in a way that you don't get when you're reading tweets or Facebook or whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. No, it's man, it sucks, but I'm not complaining. I have roof, clothes, food. I could control the temperature. You know what I mean? Like I'm like it's a forced staycation. It sucks. And I know people are suffering financially and everything else. Other people are sick. And now we lead the world in number of confirmed cases. It's like not a record anyone would want. We got it. It's like I'm just staying home, man. I'm listening to the doctors and scientists, whatever they say I'm going to do. Even if we get the green light from, the government at one point. And Dr. Fauci or and other medical leaders are like that don't do X, Y, and Z. I'm not doing it. I'm not fucking doing it, man.
I think there it is kind of surreal though, like I said. It's just like wow. Like we're really in this, and it feels like contagion basically. It's
Yeah, it is.
going back to Contagion and the fact that the way Steven Soderbergh just filmed the push bars on doors very ominously now has this whole new relevance, basically. You know, it's like, okay, you know, it's like there it kind of is. You'll think about it differently next time you next time you reach for it, kind of. But I don't think he intended that film as necessarily a prophecy for civilization, even though I guess it's kind of it kind of has that tinge to it now.
Yeah, no, I really loved that. I thought I gave it 4 stars out of 5. I thought it was wonderful.
Because I feel like they approached it from the vantage point of, you know, granted it's a Hollywood movie, but they approached it from, well, what if this did happen realistically? What would, you know, what would happen in the lives of these people? Yeah.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Really well done film. Can't believe it was 2011. 9 years old, that movie already.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because so many of these apocalyptic type movies are they do get intimate with like following usually one person around trying to survive or figure shit out, and and like usually, like especially in The Walking Dead, virtually everyone they meet is a threat, and it's like that's just stupid. Like, what? It's like, why do we have to? What do we have to be like that, man? Why can't we be just helpful and humane? I don't, you know, I know self-preservation is vital, but right now it's like, you know, we're not fighting over food, and we don't need to. And
we
shouldn't have to. I mean, that shouldn't happen. Even in Italy, where things have gotten extremely bad, they haven't collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the thing is to make sure that our medical infrastructure doesn't collapse, you know, and that's why another thing, like some people, I get sick, so what? It's like, douchebag, you know, it's like if you get sick and you take away a hospital bed from somebody who really, really needs it, and people are wasting energy on your sorry ass because you're an idiot, you know, then that's just going to deplete the whole system, man.
And it's just fucking selfish, yeah.
It is selfish. We have a moral responsibility towards each other. And it's funny because even though we can't, like, you know, embrace each other and all, I see people being, for the most part, kinder, gentler, more helpful. I know I've said that like 40 times already, that word. I mean, even right from the beginning when this was taking that turn where it was like, okay, we need to shut down certain things automatically. And I was never a fan of this business, this corporation.
Mm-hmm.
I saw commercials from Walmart
about, oh, yeah,
you know, that were like really wonderful and calming, and Ford and Chevy and Hyundai about, hey, you own the car? Great. Don't worry about it. Call our credit people. Don't worry about it. You know, we're not going to like screw you. And then they're coming out with these offers. No interest for 4 years. This like just like insane amounts. And, you know, because we live in a capitalistic based country, and
yes,
money is always a concern. And, you know, how can it not be because of the society we have? And I know a lot of people are like just taking a breath because of all of that. You know, even our taxes are due April 15th. That's been extended 90 days.
And a little thing, Bill. I was due to take my car in for inspection and emissions. I think on the Friday the 13th, actually. Yeah. And that's when I believe the night before, Governor Wolf was like, yeah, this is, we're going to ask that all the non-essential businesses close. And there was a whole list of what was considered non-essential versus non-essential. And I called the car dealership where I take my car. And that morning I was supposed to take it in. And I asked them, are you guys open? And I got a live person. And they said, no, we're closing. So I went on PennDOT today because my brother actually needed to get his photo license renewal at the DMV, and that was closed too when he went by. So they're extending all of this stuff through the end of April, and I have a feeling it'll be extended even further.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah, that's just kind of the you know, the optimistic estimate. But I like that they're doing that because, well, what's going to happen if you take your car out and you have an expired registration sticker? You know, are the cops going to pull you over and fine you because you had an intention to get your car in by the time all that was due, and are you just going to keep getting fined for it every time you take a car out? So I'm glad, like you were saying, Bill, to see some of this stuff, kind of like these grace periods, being implemented for people.
Yeah, it's beautiful and it's such a stress reliever, you know, because when I made my appointment, the governor shut us down on Thursday, my county, and then I was supposed to meet with people from H&R Block on Saturday, and they called and said it's canceled because of X, Y, and Z, and they said, don't worry, you have 90 days, there's been an extension. And then they called back because I knew they had a drop-off service, and they called back that they were going to take drop-off. So I was rescheduled, and yeah, just drop it off. We'll take care of it. Blah blah blah. And I'm like, good. I'll have to pick it up and sign it probably,
Sure.
but I'm like, I'm cool with that. Or you can mail it to me. I don't care.
Right.
This is it's a whole different animal, so things have to be different. And seeing companies' altruism and all is great. I know with a stimulus package, sooner or later, we're going to have to pay for it, but that's later and it's not going to be sooner. And, I just want people to be okay, have with the resources that they need for their families. That's what a country's supposed to do. That's what people are supposed to do in general, anywhere. And,
Yeah, I think to what you were saying, Bill, I think the degree of selflessness I think we're seeing is really it's humbling and it's reassuring, because part of me was thinking, okay, like less than a week into this, the really bad stuff's supposed to start happening if this were a movie, and and that's not something I see happening, and I hope it continues to be that way. I hope people continue to get the help they need, and I'm trying to be helpful to the people that I know. I'm trying to donate to the GoFundMes to help people at businesses that I patronize, or buying up gift cards for places that had to close down because of this, just because I'm like, I want you all to be here,
Tomorrow,
when
yeah.
when this blows over. I want to go back to my local art house theater, which is undergoing renovations,
Yeah, yeah.
and it's like, I want to go back there and see a movie I can't see someplace else. I mean, I'd like to just go see a movie anywhere, but
Yeah.
it's stuff like that, and I think people are kind of opening, kind of opening their, it's like, I'm in this fortunate position, I'm going to help you if I can with something you might need, just.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Some companies and businesses and all have been very gracious with people and offering free things, and I think that's just great. It's a time for civility and patience. And I know patience is tough, but civility is important, man, because I always have this fear, just like with the toilet paper debacle. Some people freak out. Well, one place, there's a little mini riot. People are just going to use it as an excuse to just blow up, and don't want to see that happen. So, I mean, you and I live in a state where like every other person has like a right to carry, so it's like and I
Well,
was like, man, I was just going to get that I was just going to get that that ID, that benefit to carry, and I didn't. And I'm playing, but
it's yeah, I'm not going to get into that whole rabbit hole.
No.
But yeah, I think, I think you made a good point there, Bill, just about, people look put people looking out for each other. And I mean, I hope after this initial kind of thing, because I think we're still in the acceleration period for
Oh, we are. Yeah, they say another 2, 3 weeks.
2, 3 weeks. Okay.
I'm worried about people I know in New York City. I'm sorry, man, I'm cutting into you.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I know my buddy. He's a security guard. He works in New York City, and he's like, I'm safe. I'm keeping my distance and all. Plus, he's a giant, so he's like standing above everybody, so nobody's gonna breathe on him. But you know, well, Phoenix Fiery, who's a big horror fan and all, and a fan of the show, and we're a fan of hers. You know, she lives in, you know, New York City, and she's like, people are still around in big groups and all. And she's like, you know, so I worry about her. I worry about people in large apartment buildings, you know, recycled air, and you know, and it's like people who don't take it seriously. And what about the poor homeless people on the street? What are they, what's being done for them? What, you know, so they don't get it and spread it. And you know, there's so many things, no protective gear. You know, you look at the great Governor Cuomo, who is like, man, we need X, Y, and Z. We're not getting it. You know, I'm asking the government, and we're getting like one 100th of what we need. And it's like,
Oh, yeah.
you know, but you know, we have some really good governors who are on the ball, and which is great. And I know if things, you know, if we need any resources, you know, the National Guard will be there, which is fantastic, and any reserves, you know, for that matter, which is fantastic. I hope it doesn't come to that, just because you know, it'd be pulling a lot of people away from, you know, their
Oh,
families and
yeah.
such, and from
Yeah.
their work and whatever they might be doing. I just, yeah, I wish this would end tomorrow, but it's not. It's going to take a while. And I hope it doesn't come down to where the government's saying, certain people in the government and financial people are saying one thing, and doctors and, you know,
Right,
scientists are
right.
saying something else. 'Cause I'm going with the doctors and scientists, man. Like, you know, really all the way.
Well, and part of me feels like they're, yeah, I feel like that's kind of, I'm gonna listen to the daily addresses from which is based on science and, you know, what's out there, like the data, you know,
Oh, yeah.
that's what my stake is in, you know, and I'm really, all right, once you say that it's okay to come outside and do normal things again, okay, all right, but I'm being very selective with the information that I catch wind of and who is disseminating it. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but the good thing is, this isn't, you know, for you know, certain people who are compromised health wise. We know this can be a severe danger to them. I mean, that's been proven. Most people, like I said, over 500,000 now confirmed cases, over 120,000 recovered, which is wonderful. I wish that number was higher. There's a lot of active cases. I hope those people do well. The thing is, if hospitals are overwhelmed, then the death toll might, obviously might rise, because, you know, resources are spread thin. So hopefully people will just do what they need to do and not harm anybody else. You know, do no harm. You know, just do the right thing, because right now this is escalating. It's really taking off, and we all have to do our part as, it sounds so friggin' corny, forgive me, you know, citizens of the world, you know, to make sure we're not a part of the problem. And part of the solution is just being calm, cool, and collected.
I think that's a great note to end on, Bill.
Yeah, and watching horror movies.
That too, because I've been doing that a lot more lately as myself. So, Bill, do you have any scream outs, or do we just want to scream out for everybody to, you know, stay safe and, you know, take care of you and yours, but
You know, from a horror perspective, I do want to thank Shudder.
okay.
Shudder has been releasing things, having leaving keeping you know, horror movies available for free for horror fans. So I'd really like to thank them. And Shout Factory, I finally got a chance to pop open my whatchamacallit, Prince
The
of
thing.
Dark, Prince of Darkness steel, you know, steel case.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I put it in, and I'm watching this. It is one of the most phenomenal transfers of film to Blu-ray I've ever, it is just so absolutely perfect.
Beautiful.
And, oh, absolutely beautiful. And it was great. But, like, you know, Shudder, you know, I know all the people at Shout Factory and Scream Factory. They're, like, you know, they're doing things remotely as well, but they're still, you know, working with fans to make sure that, you know, they can get their content, which is wonderful. I just think that's a beautiful thing. I think the horror community, once again, has been very kind to each other. A lot of concern for people who are, you know, have mentioned that they are ill online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know you and I just wish everybody to stay safe and healthy and do the right thing and not be a jerk face, you know, to other people.
Well, you know something, Bill, like Monster Mania, I was supposed to go to that.
Right, right.
And that had to be canceled because of the situation in New Jersey. And, you know, I got a refund on my tickets, and people, I feel like in the comment sections were bummed, but they understood. And I feel like that's often the case. It's like, oh, it's that person can't make it, or you can't have the event, but you know, you'll have more events in the future. Mm-hmm. And I'll come out to those events. So it's kind of like, it's what you were saying, like, this too shall pass, you know. Things may look bad right now, but things will persevere, I think, you know,
We will. We'll get through this, and it'll define us in a new way, and hopefully a better way. And, you know,
maybe some things systemically will change based on it.
I'm hoping.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just better safe than sick, better safe than dead. You know, it's just this is temporary, and people before us have gotten through so much worse, and. Knowing, you know, we could do this, you know, and we will, and
yeah.
Everything will be, eventually things will be better, you know. It's just gonna take some time,
patience.
Mm-hmm. And right now I don't want to be a patient, so
right. Yeah. Well, Bill, where can people find you?
Oh, gosh. I'm right here. No, I'm at CrashPalaceProductions.com for links to the Last Knock Horror Podcast and articles from Johnny Numb, Kim McDonald, the list goes on. You could also find me on Twitter at Crash Palace, and you could find my novels, which are free if you have Kindle Unlimited and you want to read something. I write erotic crime thrillers in the Kink Noir series, and all you have to do is go to Amazon and look up either Bloodletting or Punishment, or just put in my last name, which is Prystauk, and that is Prystauk, and they'll come up. And like I said, free on Kindle Unlimited. The show's free. The website's free. So free shitty entertainment from Johnny and me.
I was gonna say, Bill, I'm going to do the Starship Troopers thing and turn to the camera and say, I'm doing my part. There's nothing behind a paywall. It's all for you guys. Yep, we do it all for you.
Exactly. A good virus is a dead virus, right, Johnny?
Oh, nice. put that on a t-shirt, Bill. Yeah.
Hear that, Palco? Get on it, buddy.
Yeah.
Palco Designs. Boom.
And in addition to what Billy said, you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Johnny Numb. There are no H's in those Johnnies.
Yeah, and real quick, Grubhub, thanks to those people who are picking up food from restaurants to take to people. That's great. That's wonderful. And again, you know, some people who maybe can't get out at all, or, you know, afraid to get out, you know, you're bringing food to their door. That's a beautiful thing. So I'm grateful for them as well.
Yeah, definitely for the people who need it. Yeah, that's a, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Johnny, that's it, my friend.
All right, Bill. All right, that's a... show on real life horror. Yeah,
never thought we'd do it,
but we did somehow. So
yeah, we did. All right, man, have a good one. Stay safe.
All right, you too, Bill. Take care.
All right, bye.
Bye.